All right, Alexander, we have a big week ahead. On Tuesday, we have the Georgia Senate runoff. Who knows when those votes will be tallied, and we'll know what's going on there. But on Wednesday, we have the Congress session, where they're going to look at the electoral certification, and Mike Pence will do something. It's still very fuzzy and unclear what exactly Mike Pence is going to do as Mike Pence the person, and what he's entitled to do under the Constitution. So there's the one case, what Mike Pence the man is thinking of doing, but then there's the other case as to what the Constitution actually says is his power, what he has in his power to do. We do know that we have anywhere of around 140 House Republicans who will contest the vote. They'll contest the electors, and that will lead to multiple delays. And we know that we have at least one senator, that's Josh Hawley, in the Senate. We have Rand Paul, who's danced around it a little bit, but he hasn't come out with a statement yet. So there's a lot of gray area still before us as we head to Wednesday. But I think the big question that everyone is asking, at least what I'm asking, but not everyone, what I'm asking is what does the Constitution say about all this? Because there's a lot of people talking about the Electoral Count Act of 1877, and how that says that the House will then vote. But is it the House as representatives? Or is it like what Louie Gohmert's lawsuit is saying, but has got tossed out, by the way, by a Texas judge who was appointed by Trump? But is the truth in that lawsuit, where you're talking about the House as delegates, which would mean that each state has one vote, and then the Republicans tip it? I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, and there's a lot of gray area. So what do you think of everything that's happening here?
I think this is a huge gray area altogether. I've been spending some time going through the 12th Amendment and going through the various articles about this. Obviously, I am not a constitutional lawyer myself, and he's not a US constitutional lawyer. So for me to give any definitive or authoritative opinion about this would be very difficult. But I'm going to say a few make a few simple observations, which is that the vice president presides over this decision, over the vote. I would have thought, since he is the presiding officer, he has discretion to decide which votes are counted and which are not. That's what I would have thought. So let us say that there is challenges to the certification of certain electors. Seems possible. Seems very likely now, actually. And there are alternative sets of electors being put forward. I would have thought it's up to the vice president to decide. Bear in mind that this is before the House itself decide, votes. And then after that, if the House isn't happy, I would have thought it reverts to them and they make a decision. And I don't think it does work on the delegation basis. This is my own personal view. I know many people will take a issue with that. But again, since it's the House of Representatives, I would have thought that it votes upon these sort of things as a body. So I am making, shall we say, stating opinions here. I am sure there are lots of people who will take issue with all the things I've just said, but we are looking at a very extraordinary situation. We will see what Vice President Pence does. My own personal view is that he will try to steer away from controversy, but we will see what he does. We will see how many challenges are made. And I think that is the important thing. The fact that there are going to be lots of challenges, 140 Republican representatives apparently prepared to stand up and make and say that they're unhappy. That for me is very big view news, and it shows that there is a battle underway within the Republican Party for the soul, if you like, of the Republican Party between its grassroots supporters, who are obviously strong in the House of Representatives and who are who back Donald Trump and see him as their political leader. And the Republican leadership in Congress, the traditional Republican leadership in Congress, people like Mitch McConnell, people like the former Speaker Paul Ryan, who's no longer there anymore, but still has influence, apparently. So that's one side of the battle that we shouldn't overlook, that, you know, whatever happens going forward, there is now a fight for the soul of the Republican Party. But the actual procedures are unclear to me. There are different views about them. I think that Pence is not the kind of person who's going to take radical and unusual steps. But for what it's worth, I think he has the discretion to do so as vice president if he chooses.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So whatever Pence does, he's going to do. But at the end of the day, you have to look at that critical question. Is it the House voting according to the representation or the delegation? On the flip side, you mentioned the fight for the soul of the Republican Party. Even if, and I say this, I'm trying to be objective here. You know, I want Trump to win. Everyone knows, watches this channel, they know that I want Trump to win, fine. But even if the House votes on delegation, so say they vote and the Republicans have an advantage there, and okay, it passes and it goes to the Senate. So Trump is good there. I'm just playing, you know, a scenario out. Even in the Senate, what worries me is you have just Josh Hawley. Okay, so then the Senate votes. It's not a guarantee, given that you have Mitch McConnell there and you have people like Mitt Romney and all these rhinos, that Trump can even hold a majority in the Senate.
Well, that's entirely true. I mean, can I just say, if we get into that situation, we will have a political battle, the like of which we have never seen in the United States. People make comparisons with the election of 1876. I think this would be even bigger than that, actually, and unprecedented in our lifetimes. But let's assume that that's what happens. Let's assume that Pence, who, as I said, I think has wide discretion in this field and decides to proceed in the way that you said and proceed on the basis of delegation. I mean, I think you can argue that it's his right to do that. Let's assume that it goes to the Senate. We will have Mitch McConnell there. We will have battles. We will have a huge outcry in the country. We have senators like Romney, who are, shall we say, Republicans, but not sympathetic to Trump. We have people like Collins, who are not sympathetic to Trump. And I think there will be enormous pressure on senators at that point to go along with what they are told is the majority vote in the country. So I agree. I don't think it's guaranteed at all, if we get into that situation, that the Senate would vote for Trump. All the more so, and especially given that the Republican leader in the Senate, who is McConnell, has congratulated Biden on his victory and accordingly, presumably at this stage, will be pushing for Senate Republicans to vote for Biden. So we would be in a completely unprecedented situation, and I'm not sure how it would turn out at all. But we will see.
Well, we know that McConnell is pushing the senators to not object to anything. I mean, we know he's all but admitted it. And we also know that he's working with Pelosi to, at least rumor has it that he is working with Pelosi in order to change the rules so that any objections that do come into place, they just get brushed aside. So there's no doubt in my mind that McConnell just wants this thing over and done with, and he doesn't want to see Trump anywhere near the White House, maybe even to a greater degree than Pelosi does.
Absolutely correct. I think that's entirely correct. I think that the Republican leadership, as we said, discussed many times in our programs, I'm talking about the Republican leadership in the Senate, have never been enthusiastic about Donald Trump. That's putting it mildly. I think many of them are, frankly, outright hostile to Donald Trump. I think Romney expresses views and feelings about Trump that many Republican leaders quietly and privately share. I think McConnell being one of them. I think he does not want to see a huge row on Wednesday. I think he wants what he would describe as an orderly process whereby at the end of it, Joe Biden is formally elected president of the United States, future president of the United States, by the Electoral College, and the results are certified by the House and approved by the Senate. I think that's what he intends, and that's what he's going to, and that is what he's working towards. The interesting fact is that he is struggling to assert his authority over House Republicans, and even it seems at least one senator is now rebelling against him. And that is a very important political fact. It shows that grassroots feeling within the Republican Party is starting to move against him. And we will see what he tries to do in response to that. He is undoubtedly a very experienced politician, but he is a politician who is at his most skilled working behind the scenes, if you like, you know, backstairs within Congress. He knows how to engage in wire pulling and things of that kind. I don't think he's ever had to deal with a popular electoral force in the form that the Trump movement is taking. I think that has him baffled, and he's struggling to know what to do about it.
All right, so we'll wrap it up here with this thought, and you can elaborate on this thought that I'm gonna throw at you. We've, for many years, we've been doing these videos, and I guess we've been operating under the premise that Trump's enemies, the people that he's fighting against, are the Nancy Pelosi's and the Schumer's and the Democrats throughout all of Russiagate and Ukrainegate. These were the people that were going after Trump. I think the masks have completely come off now, and we have a very clear understanding the battle that is taking place. Over these last 4 years, Trump has been fighting with McConnell and these establishment Republicans, as well as the Democrats, but these establishment Republicans. We saw that in Russiagate because it was the Republicans, the Grahams, the McConnells, the Romneys, that knew exactly that the Steele dossier was a complete hoax, but yet insisted on a Mueller special counsel and threatened Trump with impeachment if he dared fire Mueller. We saw that during Ukrainegate when Barr did nothing with regards to Hunter Biden's laptop, even though he had it in his possession for the better part of a year and a half. And throughout this whole saga, we've said many times that if it wasn't for the House Republicans, the people that are closest, the representatives that are closest to the people of the United States, to the patriots of the United States, people like Nunes and Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan, all these guys, if it wasn't for them, then Russiagate might have turned out very differently. Ukrainegate might have turned out very differently. So I think now, coming to January 6th, we understand who the real enemy of the MAGA movement or the America First movement truly was. It wasn't, we were taught to look there, look at Pelosi, look at Schumer, look at the Democrats, look at the identity politics, look at the craziness from them over there. But in the shadows, it was these McConnell rhinos that were really the people looking to do away with this America First MAGA movement.
Absolutely. Can I just say, I mean, there's that famous thing, you know, keep your enemies close and hold your friends even closer. because, of course, some of them are not really your friends. And so it turns out. And, of course, there were early indications of this. I mean, looking back, one of the early indications that Donald Trump did not have full control or full support in Congress from the Republican leadership was not just Russiagate, it was the failure to repeal Obamacare. If you remember all that, there was a battle right at the beginning of Trump's presidency in which he was trying to repeal Obamacare, and various parts of the Republican Party went their own ways. And it was very obvious to me at the time that the senatorial leadership, the Senate leadership, and that was a time when the Republicans had majorities in both houses of Congress, that the Senate leadership was not really working with Trump to get Obamacare repealed. So that was, you know, a clear sign that there were already issues and dividing lines at that point. But on Russiagate, let's remember this. At the time when the Republicans had control of both houses of Congress, both the Senate and the House, the Senate committees were getting information from people like Sean Henry, the president of CrowdStrike, and they were getting information about the Steele dossier, which demonstrated conclusively that there were, let's put it like this, clear indications that the whole Russiagate thing was simply nonsense. CrowdStrike were not able to determine that they had not conclusively determined that there'd been a hack of the DNC computers. They'd not conclusively determined that the Russians were responsible for that hack, even if that hack had happened. And of course, fairly early on, the Republicans in the Senate discovered that the whole Steele dossier was a load of nonsense and had been completely discredited. Now, at that time, the Republicans had control of both the Senate and the House. If they'd really been concerned to end the Russiagate investigation, the Mueller investigation, they could have asked, why is this investigation continuing? And they could have called Mueller to give evidence. They could have called him to testify to Congress and explain publicly to Congress why, what his findings were, and why he was proceeding with his investigation, given that already the key facts that there was no collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia were already known. Yet they didn't do that. They went on saying that Trump should, you know, continue, accept the fact that this investigation was carrying on, that Mueller should be given all the time he needed to carry on. It went all the way up to and beyond, if you remember, the midterm elections in 2018, when the Republicans suffered losses in the House of Representatives, which they might not have suffered if the Mueller investigation had been closed down in 2017, as it should have been. But, you know, they persisted. They allowed Mueller to continue. And clearly they did that. The only explanation why they did that is because they realized that it was weakening and undermining the president, the Republican president, who was Donald Trump. So it's quite clear that there has always been this tension within the Republican Party. Some Republicans, senior Republicans, clearly had not got over the way in which Trump won the nomination, the Republican nomination in 2015, pushing aside establishment Republicans like Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz and all those. And they didn't like Trump. They didn't like his ideas about foreign policy. They felt that he was an outsider. And they were looking for ways, firstly, to box him in and then to get rid of him. And that's still the case now. When they've spoken sympathetically about Trump, they've spoken through clenched teeth And their major media outlets, National Review, Washington Examiner, and the rest, have now become outspokenly critical of Trump in all sorts of ways.
As did Fox News.
As did Fox News, exactly. So this is what we need to understand. Clearly, there is a battle underway now within the Republican Party. I have to say, if it's true that 140 House Republicans are going to rebel, it's clearly the Trump side which is winning this war. But it is a war nonetheless. It is far from over. McConnell has many, obviously many levers he can pull. But as I said, I don't think he really understands how to deal with the mass movement of the sort that Donald Trump embodies and represents. That is something completely outside his experience.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it there. It really is the manifestation of the people against the elite and the globalists. It really is.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're seeing it right there.
Absolutely. At so many levels. I mean, not just in the way that you said, with Donald Trump versus the Democrats and the Democratic Party establishment and the DNC. It's also Donald Trump and the movement that he embodies versus the Republican leadership too. So it is both major parties. We've discussed this before. It is absolutely obvious to me, has been for a long time, that Mitch McConnell prefers Joe Biden as president than Donald Trump. Biden, after all, was a senator for many years. The Senate Republican Party knows him. They know him well. I suspect many of them feel very close to him. They feel politically close to his ideas, and they recognize him as a political creature like themselves. Donald Trump is an outsider, and they are not happy to be confronted by this disruptive and uncontrolled outsider.
All right. We'll leave it there. We have a big week of news ahead.
All right.
Yeah. And Alexander Akers, thank you very much. Guys, click on that like button. Click on that like button. And if you like this video, you can also click on that subscribe button. Look for us on BitChute, on Odyssey, and on Rumble. We are on Rumble as well. And also look for Alexander's channel, which has been launched. It is in the description box down below. You'll find a link to that channel as well. You'll also find a link to my channel as well. So look for those links, subscribe, and what else? And the Durant Shop, PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar, Bitcoin, and the Durant Shop. Always helps us out.
Absolutely. And our wonderful magic mugs. This is my magic mug with the flag of Greece. We've got flags on many of our items. You can see this one with the flag of Australia and on this amazing Durant t-shirt. And we have our hats with this one with the Union Jack. And we have sweatshirts and we have hoodies. And can I just say, all the quality of our products is outstandingly high, and we get rapturous reviews from those of our viewers who buy these things. And of course, you support us by coming to our shop. You support us also by finding us on our other platforms. And as Alex said, you can support us too by finding us on Patreon, Subscribestar, and PayPal. And please remember also, we have a Discord server where you can join us too. So please support the Durant, buy these great things in our shop, which you will be really pleased with. And at the same time, please join us for our next broadcast.
And on the other channels, as we said,
Alexander's
channel is also launched. We're putting out a lot of content now,
yes.
of content. So we're working hard to get the news out in 2021.
Very much so. And as I said, both our channels, we've got more content coming there all the time.
All right. Take care, everybody.